You're listening to the Dental Sherpas Podcast, where we make it easier to transform your practice, get out of the chair, and into the life you want.
Well, here we are again, Sed. Welcome back to the Dental Sherpas Podcast. We're excited to have everybody and have our listeners here today. We are still in the middle of the COVID pandemic. It's actually Election Day. It's Election Day 2020. So our kids are out of school here. What about yours? Are y'all shut down for election?
Yeah, my kid's out of school, but I didn't tell him that because it's all, you know, it's distance learning. So he's on the computer doing a little studying as I speak. Once he figures it out, I'm sure he won't be too happy.
you're Mr. Miyagi in there.
Definitely. Absolutely.
You're getting him going
Paint the fence.
Well, one of the big topics, you know, as we've been talking about how to grow your dental practice in such a way that helps you get out of the chair, right? Or a new phrase I've been using here recently said is moving yourself to the point where dentistry, actually doing the dentistry, becomes optional, right? As we've been talking about that, you know, one of the things that we're interacting with, and it's kind of all over the news, is, you know, social media and marketing and how we're being marketed to. And I was telling you before we kind of hit record here on the podcast that because our company, my company's name is Dental Impact, I'm getting marketed to like I am a dentist. And so Facebook, I'm getting, you know, flyers in the mail, Instagram, you know, all of that stuff, they're marketing to me. And they're marketing on a couple of different levels. The first is kind of on the DSO level. Hey, do you want to sell your practice? Mm-hmm. And we talked about that in our last podcast, folks. If you haven't heard that, please go back and listen to that. But they're also marketing to me to engage them in marketing, right? So a lot of marketing agencies are just hitting me really hard. Do you need new patients? We can get you new patients, et cetera. Right. So I thought it would make sense for us to kind of just take a few minutes and talk about marketing. I know that that's kind of your forte. So how's that sound? You want to talk about some marketing today?
That sounds great. And let me first say that about all the things you're receiving in the mail and on the Instagram. Well, welcome to the party. Welcome to my world. Welcome to the inundation of this, of the marketing pitch.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, I've definitely moved into your neighborhood.
Absolutely.
Man. So
that
might be a sign of success, or I don't know what it is, but it's a sign of something.
It's a sign of something.
So let's talk about your overall marketing philosophy for your practices. Just kind of give me, as you think about marketing, what is it? How do you do it? What are some driving things that you think about when you think about in terms of marketing?
Right. So, you know, again, I'm going to get back to the frou-frou stuff again. You know, I always go back to our core value, right? And I talked about this at several podcasts, and it's to serve people better. And for me, that means how do we go about creating a business or a practice that basically truly kind of brings into the picture for patients or potential, we'll call them guests, how they can go about accessing our practice, accessing our business that makes it easy on them, how we can serve their needs. And so we're always focusing on the things that are important to patients, right? Time, money, and their comfort, right? And so from a marketing pitch or marketing platform, we're looking at how our messaging meets those needs. And so there's definitely varieties and different ways of doing it, which we'll get into, but that's how I do in terms of identifying what I'm going to do to actually bring that to the table for the particular patient I want to bring into the practice.
That's perfect. Let me ask you this then. You know, and I'm going to leave you here because I think I know what you're going to say, but what is actually marketing? Is it just the ad that goes out and the copy that goes out, the direct mail pieces that go out? There's certainly a segment of marketing, but what else is included in marketing? You and I have had lots of conversations about this over the years.
Yeah, I think marketing, again, there's like what Matt's saying is, there's many different ways of going ahead marketing. But I think what it comes down to, it's your message, your brand, your promise to the patient in terms of what they should expect coming into your business. Yeah. So in many respects, it's a way of basically breaking down any level, as far as I'm concerned, of impediments they may have toward actually opening your door and coming in and being a patient of yours.
That's right. Great. Perfect. So, you know, maybe another way to say that is, correct me if I'm wrong or say it a different way, but another way might be, in order to attract patients, you have to build a practice that's attractive.
Absolutely.
Right? There's no direct mail piece or Facebook ad or whatever that overcomes an unattractive practice.
Correct.
Right? So So what is attractive to the patients? Meaning, what is actually the product that the dental practice is actually providing or actually selling? You know, most businesses, they spend a lot of time researching their product. They know exactly what it is that they sell and they give to the community. But I find a lot of times the dental practice doesn't take the time, and the dentist doesn't take the time to think about, hey, what are we really marketing? I mean, we do all of those things. This just popped in my head. Maybe it's kind of like the iceberg model, right? Mm-hmm. There's this waterline, and below the waterline are all the things that you know that you do for the patient when they come in,
right?
All of the things that you check, all of the places that you can serve them and help them. Mm-hmm. But what we've learned over the years is just marketing those things doesn't bring the patient in.
No.
So there's above the waterline. Marketing is kind of identifying and saying what we tell patients we do, we provide for them mm-hmm. to bring them in the door. And then underneath the waterline is all of the things that we actually do for them. Right. So that above the waterline is kind of the product that we can package and market. Let's talk about that a little bit. What's that product that folks need to be thinking about?
Well, I think the product, like a lot of times, and let's go to like how your practice presents itself, right? You know, like Matt was saying, many people are going to basically talk about that litany or that menu of services you all do is thinking of that's the marketing. But I have found, again, that in order to kind of reach and inspire patients to come into your practice, you've got to meet them on their needs, right? Mm-hmm. So part of the marketing message, besides any direct mail piece you do or TV ad or radio ad or Instagram or whatever online thing you want to do, the thing for me from a marketing standpoint is my practice hours, right? If the practice has to appear open, it has to appear ready to do business, it has to appear open for that particular patient to want to do business with you in the first place. So I would say to many people from a marketing standpoint, how you run, for lack of a better term, your availability, your marketing, that particular message to the patient, like, I'm open to see you on your terms. I'm open to be available, that I'm happy to work with your insurance, or I'm happy to basically be open on weekends, or and I'm happy to be seeing you before or after work. That in its own right is a marketing message that needs to be conveyed in regarding to whatever piece you're talking about. Because without that appearance that you're open to take care of them on their terms, they're never going to get to the menu of services you're offering.
Yeah. Yeah. As our friend, John Christensen or Chris had, you know, taught me over the years, what he taught me was find out what your ideal patient wants. Mm-hmm. And then do everything you can do to give them what they want.
Right.
Right. I was just talking to a dentist before we started here. And we were talking about, you know, Chris Ad did the survey and continually updates the survey asking patients what they want. And the last numbers I saw were 85% of patients prefer before work, after work, or weekend cleaning mm-hmm. hours. Mm-hmm. And I said to this guy, I said, you know, imagine if Walmart did a survey, a national survey of their ideal customer, and found out that 85% of their customers want them to be open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, do you think Walmart would go, well, we don't want to be open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because we don't want to work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to try to slick up our marketing and try to get them come in on Monday through Thursday.
Right.
So the first step is really kind of what John taught me was the first step is understanding what they want.
Right.
And then creating that attraction. That's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Creating the practice that attracts them to what they want, right? And then all those other services, I mean, is you're going to give them those. I mean, that's
absolutely
that's a given. I think a lot of times dentists believe they're in the business of healthcare, which they are,
mm-hmm.
right? They are in the business of healthcare. I don't want to downplay that at all, right? You are providing great care.
Absolutely.
But in the public's mind, they're in the business of, you would say, right, convenience.
Yep. Yeah, convenience right. and service, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the crust of it is that, and I've always said this in past podcasts, we have to stop neglecting the fact that we're in the service business. I mean, like you said before, there's no doubt we're doctors, we're definitely important healthcare facilities. We provide an incredibly valuable service to the community. But at the end of the day, we can never like discount the fact that just because we are all those things, that we can't, for lack of a better term, put a lot of effort and focus on trying to make a better service model. And like you said before, make it convenient, make it affordable, be flexible for their needs. Look out to basically find ways to meet their needs and not your own. And at that point, then you're looking at things through the eyes of your patient base rather than looking at the eyes for what works for you.
Yeah. Exactly right. So we're actually, I mean, that's huge. I want to just say it one more time. We have to think about what actually are we marketing and what is going to bring the patient in. So now that we have talked a little bit about really refining the product, right, that we're giving and making a practice that's attractive enough to bring folks in, talk a little bit, over the years, we've talked a little bit about external marketing versus internal marketing and kind of tie those two things together there.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, external marketing sometimes gets a bad rap out there. I think sometimes there's this perception in our industry that the more you external market, the worse off your practice is or the desperate you are for patients. But I think in this day and age, you know, there's definitely a way you can live in both worlds and mix it really well. Obviously, you have to have some level of outreach to the community in some capacity. You know, there has to be a well-researched way of doing it. I certainly wouldn't be, I don't believe in the shotgun approach where you just try to shoot out as many different ways as possible and hope it lands. But from a terms of external marketing, to me, that's something in which you have to find some way to create a level of a brand or some level of a message to the community. They know how to find you. They know where you are, right? And more importantly, they know how you distinct yourself in the marketplace. And that's the big thing I want to make sure I really talk about is that you have to have a marketing message that puts you in a position in your particular market that you're actually going to be separating yourself from the rest of the noise out there, right? Yeah. In terms of internal marketing, to go on that, internal marketing is something that we implicitly must do as well. That's typically what kind of message is your team? What kind of message are your patients receiving when they actually utilize your business? Is it a good experience? Are you asking for internal referrals? Or are you doing a great job of creating great experiences so that it gets more experiences with that particular patient, their family, their friends, and their coworkers? So I know I'm getting kind of long-winded here, Matt, but
no.
Again, there's a good message that it's definitely a mix. I don't look at either one as being one where I swing the pendulum too far on one side, but it's definitely something in which one has to basically balance the two based on the market they're in. And more importantly, understand that unless there's some level of a message to the patient and from a brand or from the level of messaging for how you're trying to bring people into your practice, it's going to be a challenge to actually provide yourself good patient flow. And I'd argue return patient flow.
Yep. Yep. Well, what I'm hearing you say is, you know, you have to have both.
Yeah.
Right. And
that's what they're saying. It.
the onslaught of marketing that I'm getting makes it seem, and I get this, they're marketing to me as well, but it makes it seem as if, hey, it really just becomes about crafting great copy and, you know, just a certain ad spend, right, will get you to, you know, this big, you know, return, right? But the truth is, as I have learned in practices, as you have shown me, as, you know, John, others have taught, that you can spend all that money on that external, but if the folks up front don't answer the phone correctly.
Correct.
Right? The internal side and the way that patient gets treated can really just kill everything else. In fact, I've even seen John, not that we're making the podcast about John, we're just talking about it before we got on here, but I even see Chris had say, hey, we're not going to let you spend any more money on this external marketing until we get these internal systems right.
Absolutely.
You can end up shutting this down. Have you experienced that? Where
absolutely. I'm glad you brought this up. That's a really critical component of the marketing message, right? I think sometimes I hear this all the time. I'm sure you do too, Matt, when you talk to dentists out there. It's like, oh yeah, I did those mailers, or I did that online campaign, or I did that commercial and didn't get me any new patients. And then the first question you ask, well, what happened in the office? Were they picking up the phone? Were they, was the patient getting an experience? Were you able to see that patient and help get, you know, and help meet their needs? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, how can you expect that particular marketing message to be effective or not for you? So yeah, to your point, yeah, one of the biggest things, and again, we talked about this a little earlier in this podcast, which is like the message needs to be in the operations, right? That's your marketing message as well. It's just, how are you answering the phones, right? How are you basically bringing the patients in? Are you pointing them at the right times that they want? Are you handling the money issues? Are you handling the process of making the financials easy on them? Is the experience such as what in which they actually really value their appointment, or did they feel like they were rushed, or they felt like they're just a number in your practice?
Right.
So those are all critical marketing messages that obviously have to align with whatever external marketing efforts you're doing.
Yeah. I was thinking about an analogy being like an engine, right? Pouring gasoline into your gas tank, but the car still won't run. Yeah. And you say, well, that gas is stupid. That gas doesn't work. It's like, well, okay, we poured gas into, and we know that gasoline is combustible. So what else is happening inside of the engine where the gas isn't getting, isn't flowing where it needs to go? Right. So now let's diagnose those things. Right. Mm-hmm. So that analogy jumped in my head. It's like, you know, I know that in some practices I worked with, the idea was that if a patient called in and said, when I'd like to schedule a cleaning, that a subtle marketing message was for the person on the phone to respond, great, when can we see you today? Mm-hmm. You want to come right now? Or, you know, are you aware that we're available? We have appointments available before work, after work, on weekends. Which do you prefer? Mm-hmm. Work, right? What's your work schedule? Let's work around your work. Those kinds of things take that message from the mailer and or the Facebook ad or whatever it is and make it real concrete and apply.
And this is important stuff. So if I'm a listener, I'm leaning in right now because what Matt is talking about is incredibly important. I'm going to give you a little, like, just a little personal report on a doctor I just talked to about this subject. He was telling me the other day on the phone how he literally tripled his marketing budget. He's doing triple the amount of money. He's putting all this effort into trying to make sure he's driving in more new patients for the end of the year. And he's saying, I'm just not seeing it. I mean, we grew maybe like a few percentage points, but I should have seen like the triple growth. And I'm saying, okay, well, you know, it's fair. So when someone calls your office, are they getting the appointments they want? I mean, what are you hearing from your front? Well, yeah, people don't want those weekends. I'm like, are they offering the weekends?
Right.
So, I mean, that's the one thing, docs, I would challenge all of you on this this podcast. If you're going to put the marketing dollars down, you got to keep an eye on your team, right? You've got to trust, but you got to verify, right? You trust your people that they take care of the practice or taking care of you. But unless you're verifying that they're actually living out whatever you're marketing, and if that marketing says we're going to take great care of our patients, we're going to get you in, we're going to be flexible, we're going to make sure we work with your time, we're going to get you into the office, and they're not doing that, then you have thrown that triple investment into marketing right down the toilet. Because it's not the marketing that's doing the wrong thing. It's not that external message you just did. It's the fact that you guys aren't processing it well. You're not providing that marketing message from an operational standpoint that's allowing the practice to grow. So that's a real big distinction that a lot of people struggle with out there.
That's right. Well, it's like saying, hey, spending, you know, putting up an ad, a banner ad, or hiring an airplane to fly, you know, over the beach saying, hey, we've got, you know, white Nikes. Come to our store. We got white Nikes. And when they get there, all you have is black Converse.
Absolutely right.
And people say, no, wait, I came for white Nikes.
Absolutely right.
And your team is going, all we got really is black Nikes. I mean, black Converse, that's what we like. So that's what we're going to give you, right? Absolutely. So that leads to our next question is marketing trackable and how do you track marketing?
Well, there's many different arguments. There's many different philosophies in looking at it. Many people talk about ROI, return on investment, and looking at like, if they'll make themselves a spreadsheet and they'll kind of really track it down. But, you know, and we'll bring up John again, one of my big mentors, and you're a mentor too, Matt, is that you have to look at marketing as kind of this collaborative, kind of, for lack of a better term, multifaceted, you know, spoke on the wheel kind of event in which you really have a hard time figuring out how people did find you, but you want to find ways in terms that message becomes consistent and gets out in different views. So the reason I don't track it as much as probably other people do is because, and this happens in several practices across the country, I have patients who come to me, I saw your I heard your radio ad. Or I saw you on TV, or I saw the Yellow Page ad. I'm like, well, yeah, I don't do any of those, but we're so glad you came in.
Right.
So there's merit to focusing on it because it helps the spreadsheet. It certainly keeps your CPA happy because he knows you're tracking these things. But I would challenge you also is to not go down the rabbit hole either, thinking that it's going to provide you some level of better, succinct, predictable outcome on your marketing dollar because you're going to go down this route because I got 2% more response in that particular effort. I would tell you that it really comes down to what we talked about earlier in this conversation, like Matt was talking about, focus more on the internal operations and the marketing message we're doing in terms of how we're going about having patients when they do call, are we handling those calls right? Are we getting them in the office? Or are they getting wasted and not actually getting into the office in the first place?
Well, what is trackable and what I've heard you say in the past and totally agree with as well is what is trackable are the behavior of your team
True.
That we know leads to the outcome that we want. mm-hmm. right? So right. The incentive programs that we've talked about in the past on earlier podcasts, and we can revisit right. down the road, incentivizing the correct behavior. Yes. If our prime time, you know, our before work, after work, and weekend hygiene visits get above this number, then everybody gets, you know, a bonus. Or I'm just throwing that out, something like right. that, right?
Yeah.
So we're tracking that behavior because we know that that is the critical part, that if we're going to spend this money outside on the external marketing, we have to have those internals, exactly what you just said. We have to have those internal systems working, and you can track those internal systems and right. create incentives to get them to do that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So a quick fix there, just to kind of just riff right now into that advice from that one doctor is tripling yeah. his budget, is to say, hey, why don't you do this? Why not double the budget for the marketing and then start putting a great bonus plan in place for your team? So those marketing dollars will actually be utilized the right way, because then your patient, and then your team will actually be incentivized to utilize all that marketing that basically people call into the office, and then put them in the right place. So then your marketing dollars are actually going to provide you a return.
That's exactly right. That's great. And what you're talking about too there, and I like what you were saying, there's a science to this, but there's also an intuitive art. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I can go back to my engine analogy, hey, we poured money, you know, we poured gasoline into the engine, it's not working. You know, my brother is just a world-class genius mechanic. And he, you know, runs maintenance on these huge factory machines. And he says, when the machine's not working, they call him. I mean, it's huge. I mean, multi-million dollar machines in these factories, food processing factories. And he goes in, he tells everybody, get out of the way. Just get out of the way. Turn the machine on and let me listen to it. Right. And they're like, all these engineers are like, what are you talking about? He goes, look, I just know enough about machines. I can hear where it's going to tell me what's wrong. Right. Mm-hmm. And in the same, I kind of hear you that saying that a little bit. There is a science to it. Right. But also there's an intuitiveness to kind of go, OK, if we know gas is combustible and we poured it into the gas tank, there's probably something blocking the gas from getting to the places where yeah. it turns into energy and all that stuff. Let's break right. that down and figure that out. Right. Mm-hmm. And so not just taking the and this is a great business conversation, right? Not taking anything at face value, but asking the questions two or three levels below of going, okay, we right. spent that money. We didn't see an uptick in patients. Instead of just throwing the baby out with the bathwater, what's mm-hmm. actually happening? Mm-hmm. Where are the places? And to be honest with you, most dentists don't take the time or haven't interacted with folks who can teach them what are those things to track and to kind of look at. And I totally get that. I mean, yeah. I didn't know it until I bumped into, you know, lots of mentors along the way as well, right? Mm-hmm. So, right. So it really is kind of slowing down and going, okay, well, what is actually happening here and where do I need to focus? And so just to reiterate, we'll finish on this, unless you have some other burning desire here, but just to reiterate, that internal marketing piece is the piece you can control. The external marketing piece is the piece that we spend money on, and we kind of let it go, right? Mm-hmm. We send it out into the community and we yes. let it go, and it's a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't know exactly where it's going to land or who's going to hit it, and so we can't control that piece, but we know it's necessary, but we can control the pieces inside of the practice. Have an attractive practice that delivers what patients want, which is we know time and time again is convenience and service, as you've said. And then also have a team that understands that and is encouraged and incentivized in the behavior that communicates that to the patient over and over again. Is that a good yeah, summary?
That's an absolute great summary.
All right, man. Well, anything else today? I think we've covered, you know, at least at the 10,000 foot level marketing. Yep. Anything else yep. here?
No, I just want to just end my, you know, my summary with the fact that docs, I think what Matt just said there, we have to stop thinking there's some magic sauce or some magic marketing out there that somehow you can just release into the ether and hope it sticks and it's going to bring you tons of patients. The reality is that you're going to have to look into your team. You're going to have to see like Matt's analogy, you have to listen to the machinery. You have to have a little bit of intuition and kind of figure out what's going to work and make that work better for your team. And you got to, again, I get going to the luck. You've got to make sure that your team is living the promise you're making these marketing messages. Your marketing message is not the secret sauce. Your team is.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Well said. Thanks for the podcast today. Thanks for your knowledge and your wisdom. And thanks for your willingness to kind of put it out there into the world. And as we were talking before this, we don't really know where this is going. We just want to get the message out and try to help folks in their journey out of the chair. So thanks for doing that. I also Absolutely. Want to mention to our listeners, we've got our website is up. It is dentalsherpaspod.com, dentalsherpaspod. And so you can interact with us there. You know, we'll announce new initiatives or new episodes there. You can go to listen. And again, like I said, interact with us a little bit. If we can help, we'd love to figure out a way to do that. So thanks so much, Sed. Hey, talk to you next time.